This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
8:47 right now. You're listening to The Morning Run as we take a look at the biggest business news of the day. I'm Melissa Idris. I've got Kusi Chuang and Joyce Goh here in the studio with me. Yesterday, we spoke about how Malaysia Airlines will be buying new planes from Boeing. Now, this was all part of the investments that our Prime Minister has committed to while visiting the President of the United States, Donald Trump, in the White House. Hot on the heels of that news, today we have an announcement that Malaysia Airlines is looking to fly the US-Malaysia route again, and they're also looking at expanding into European cities. What gives?
Yeah, so this is interesting because the Prime Minister has been a very busy man. He's been flying hither and thither to China, you know, several times to China. And don't forget, in the context of trade deals and what the government does, last November's Najib visit to China yielded 144 billion ringgit worth of deals in the direction of Malaysia in terms of incoming Chinese investment. This time, I think it's Malaysia investing in the US, and it's all about, I guess, building out the Malaysian Airlines Transformation Program. It's all about the EPF's investment, and we'll talk about that later. But yeah, in terms of the investments both ways.
Just as a comparison, Chuang, if you look at the investment announcements coming off from, say, the trip to China versus the trip to US, do you think that this time it's less of a sweetheart deal, that he's coming back with less goodies?
Well, no, not really. I mean, look. You know, we're coming near to elections, and there's a lot of noise, I guess, in terms of Najib and Trump and the White House and Department of Justice. But at the end of the day, this is an economic visit for the country, and in the context of the numbers, you know, Malaysia's $3 to $4 billion EPF investment, Malaysia Airlines $3 to $4 billion investment in airlines in aircraft is about $6.5-7 billion. You know, in terms of spend by Malaysian corporations and entities versus the 30 or 40 inbound investment from China. So Malaysia does business. That's what it does. We're open for business.
Yeah, so coming back to the Malaysian Airlines story, they've announced that they're looking at long new routes, right? And Peter Bellew has told Mars journalists in Washington that there are 9 different very long distance routes that they're looking at right now. And this is in the US and also New York. And they're also looking at Amsterdam, Paris, and expansion into Japan and South Korea. So this is quite interesting because before this, they had exited some of the routes, I mean, from the US and Europe. It looks like they're looking back into this again. This was a story in Starbiz.
Well, the UK, London, yes, KL route, that's a very lucrative route for them, right? Because I know that's quite popular. I mean, Chuang flies there every other week.
twice a week, actually.
Twice a week. To have skeleton tea.
In my dreams.
With the Queen. All right, so now that they are looking at kind of increasing this long-haul route, I guess, is this a good sign that Malaysia Airlines is kind of back on track, ready with the recovery plan? What do you think, Chuang?
Well, you know, it's been a few years since Malaysia did the route rationalization, and things can change very, very fast, because at the end of the day, travel, there's two kinds of travel, right? There's leisure travel, which is just discretionary and which is very much sentiment driven, and then there's business travel, which is very much predicated on the health of economies. And if you believe in the, you know, news headlines, both business confidence and corporate confidence are at a high, right? So at the end of the day, when Malaysia Airlines is trying to re-enter the capital markets in Malaysia by, what, next year? Mm-hmm. There's got to be a proposition. And at the end of the day, you're buying, Dreamliner, you're buying 8 Dreamliners and 8 MAX 8737 jets from Boeing. And Malaysia Airlines is a Boeing company, right? Mm-hmm. And then versus an AirAsia, which is an Airbus company. So you're going to be adding routes, and more routes means more seats, and more seats mean more bums on seats if you do the right thing.
Mm-hmm. And more bums on seats means if you do the right thing.
And then you get more revenue, and more revenue means more profit for the country. So
I also think the situation has changed, because if you look at oil prices now compared to when they started cutting the routes, then they exited Los Angeles in 2014. They left, they cut Cape Town, Johannesburg, Rome in 2012. So maybe things are different now, and also their contracts, maybe they've done so much restructuring and catering and things like that, right? So yeah.
Well, yeah, the energy market downturn happened in 2014, September or so, when oil prices were at $70 a barrel. And today they're about 50, 55, even with a recent overnight increase in prices. So there's a 30% drop in jet fuel prices. That's a different proposition right there. Mm-hmm. The economies are very different now. Back when it's 2014, very different from today. So is Malaysia Airlines right or wrong to spend this money? At the end of the day, it's a bit like manufacturing. You've got to invest in production capacity to roll out more widgets. With airlines, you've got to buy more planes to put more seats and more seats and more bombs on seats, right? So
they did say that they're on track to profitability for next year.
Okay, yeah, that's been a promise. That was one of the key milestones that they're looking at
achieving. Seems to be the messaging.
There you go. Since we're speaking about Najib's trip to the US, this being one of the investment deals announced while he's there, we have a clip here of the US President Donald Trump speaking at the meeting with Prime Minister Najib at the White House.
It's great to have the Prime Minister of Malaysia and his very distinguished delegation with us today. We're talking about trade, very large trade deals. We're working on one deal where between $10 and $20 billion worth of Boeing jets are going to be purchased, and many other things. Also, Malaysia's a massive investor in the United States in the form of stocks and bonds and the stock exchange, and they have to be very happy because we're hitting new highs on almost a weekly basis. And so we're very proud of our stock market, what's happened since I became president. So I congratulate you on those investments.
So that was POTUS there, Donald Trump speaking at his remarks before the meeting. Here's our Prime Minister, Datuk Sri Najib Razak.
We want to help you in terms of strengthening the U.S. economy. We have Employee Provident Fund, which is a major pension fund in Malaysia. They've got quite a big sum of capital to be exported, and they intend to invest $3 to $4 additional billion dollars to support your infrastructure redevelopment in the United States.
Right. Prime Minister Najib there, giving a shout out to EPF and how EPF could be supportive to the U.S. economy. A lot of attention given to this. What did you think about Donald Trump's comments that Malaysia is a massive investor in the U.S.?
Well, you know, the EPF being a very well-governed fund from a governance perspective, the EPF was quick to point out last night in a statement, I think, published in the papers, that it will always protect the interests of Malaysians when making foreign investments and be put through stringent checks before investing overseas, which it does. I mean, you know, I think it's a well-settled notion that the EPF is actually very well-managed as a fund, and we do get good returns from it.
Yes, and as at our first quarter of 2017, EPF overseas investment account for 29% of its total investment assets and contributed 37% to total investment income. And the US is one of the key markets within the EPF's scope of investments, given its size and depth, right? So, I mean, EPF wants to ensure, I mean, they said that they are looking at every investment proposal through stringent risk assessment and due diligence.
Yeah, so, you know, last night and overnight, you know, the WhatsApp groups that all Malaysians do enjoy and partake in.
inundated
with, exactly. Inundated with, you know, comments to the like of, oh, you know, using our money to invest in America, blah, blah, blah. But at the end of the day, you've got to remember that America is the, well, if it's not the biggest economy in the world, which I think it is by some accounts, it also it remains a AAA rated economy. It is the most mature economy in the world. And it is going to be benefiting from the Trump economic growth plan, which is predicated on infrastructure investments. Mm. Would you buy a highway in America or would you buy a highway in India, right? Two different risk profiles, right? If you're the EPF, which is a very low risk investment entity, then you would invest in a AAA rated country. And a couple more things to note as well, because EPF is allowed under its mandates to invest 10% in what it deems alternative investment allocations. And right now it's some way below that target. So America, why not, right? It's a low risk environment by some accounts. And the thing is, by Najib bringing out this whole notion up of EPF's investments to Trump, the end goal might be that the EPF might get what they call QFPF status.
QFPF status.
Yes, which is
what's
Qualified
that?
Foreign Pension Fund status, which exempts capital gains taxes on property investments or divestments, as the case may be. So that means more money in our pockets, right?
Yeah, and I think it's good to diversify out. You can't just focus all their funds. They're sitting on so much cash, mm-hmm. right? And it grows every year. So, I mean, just to look at Malaysia, the Malaysian market, you have to go beyond that. But of course, they have to make sure that the returns are good. And it's done, I mean, the investments are done well, you know? Yeah, and I think they also frequently conduct property investments, both purchase and divest.
I think it was earlier this year they divested two properties in London.
Yes, okay. And I think they brought back the profits, but the capital, they reinvested it outside.
So it's all about the investment returns, right? But since we are talking about investment returns, it does look like this landscape is challenging because if we look at, say, where we're at with the IPO market, it looks like it's a little dry, the pipeline.
Yeah, so this is a story with a more local flavour because the newspapers are quoting Inter-Pacific Securities Head of Research, Pong Teng Siu, and I think noting quite accurately that the Malaysian IPO market is getting a bit thin on the ground because 2015, the IPOs raised about 3.2 billion ringgit in combined investments. 2016, less than a billion from just 11 IPOs. And so far this year, I don't have the numbers, but biggest this year was Lotte Chemical, and Lotte Chemical might have raised a few hundred million dollars, but didn't do too well in terms of performance. Part of the reason why Pong thinks that the IPO market could be weak as well is because the retail liquidity situation is thin, thanks to GST, thanks to sentiment, thanks to rising costs.
Currencies
as well.
Yeah, I think if you're talking about listings, the number of new listings 2016 was 12. This year it's 10. But it has dropped so much compared to 2005, that was 79 listings,
yeah,
right?
And, you know,
yeah.
Chuang, is the number of IPOs really a good barometer for the health of an economy?
Well, no. But what it does give is depth and breadth to the capital markets. And at the end of the day, you want to allow companies, well, settled notions that companies must grow, right? And if you grow, what you need capital to grow with, right? So you either tap fixed income markets, you tap money markets, or you tap capital markets. There's just different ways.
Tap the cryptocurrency market?
Well, that's the thing. So the jury's out is very well divided. I mean, if you hear people like Jamie Dimon from JP Morgan last night basically saying that he would fire any of his traders who were caught trading in Bitcoin currencies. And his comments alone drove Bitcoin prices down below $4,000 per coin for the first time since August. But don't forget that Bitcoins have quadrupled this year alone.
Consider the source, right? He's a banker. He's the head of one
JP
of the biggest.
Morgan.
Yeah,
it's not just him, though. Right? China has also warned people about cryptocurrency. And
yeah, but I find it richly ironic that Jamie Dimon, who heads up JP Morgan, which had one of the biggest derivative desks in the global financial crisis, which are as risky as Russian roulette, calling Bitcoin risky. But, do you know what I mean?
Don't pull that trigger, Chuang. Okay, we've got the 9 o'clock news coming up in just a minute. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.